That song, we first sang that at camp a couple weeks ago, and I really fell in love with it. And I listened to it, I don't know, a dozen times or whatever before I even realized, like, this song is about Matthew 6:33, you know, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added to you. And so it's talking about, like, your stuff, your mortgage payment, your job, your car, your all these things, all the stuff that you have. But for me, like, I didn't even realize that that was part of the song until much later. And so when I was thinking about, like, my father has it, like, everything I need, my father has it, it's just what I was imagining, what I was singing about, what was happening in me was just being grateful that the Lord supports me, like, emotionally through all of the stuff. You guys go through stuff? I go through stuff, right? You guys got stuff? Life can be hard, right? And so it's not this, like, it's not just like the Lord will give you your, you know, he'll help you pay your car payment. And he certainly will. And he'll help you pay your mortgage. Absolutely will he do that. But will he support you emotionally through the hardest time you've ever been through? Absolutely he will. That's what he longs to do. Because the stuff is just stuff and it'll burn. But our attitudes, how we walk through life, that's what will remain. That's what is eternal. And so I'm so grateful to the Lord that like someday I'll be able to give back to him the things that he gave me in the first place. God, thank you that you helped me get through this difficult time. And my life is easy. I'm not even complaining. Like, my life is a cakewalk. I've had, like, a little bit of hard times in my teenage years or whatever, but like nothing compared to some folks. My life has been rainbows. It really has. And yet still I face emotional things that have been some tough. And the Lord still, like, he's still, like, his grace is sufficient for me. It's a wonderful thing. All right, enough of that. But that's a fantastic song. Thank you for singing that. Praise the Lord. Now, on to this. So we just got back from vacation, like, last night. We landed at 5:30 or something like that last night. And so I'm tired. I'm tired. If we were a youth group right now, we'd be eating pizza and playing games. I can tell you that. But I don't know how to mail it in as a senior pastor. When I do figure that out, then we'll do that next year after I get back from vacation. So just be praying for me, because I had this sermon written before I ever left. I practiced it again this morning, and I was just spitting out sentence fragments and bumbling all over the words and trying. So hopefully the Holy Spirit does what the Holy Spirit does, and you guys hear his voice and not mine this morning. That'll be what's fantastic, because honestly, my words, my voice bounces off these walls and disappears, but his words are eternal. So be listening for his words, because they're the ones that matter. All right, now we are marveling at our salvation. We have been marveling at our salvation for a long, long time, looking at all of the awesome benefits that come with our salvation. So it's not just like this one-trick pony. You don't just get to go to heaven and then that's it. It's so much deeper than that. Like, a good job offers you insurance and 401k matching and all that stuff. Your salvation, when you sign on, you get emotional support, physical support, you get financial support. Like, the Lord's got all of this stuff that he will lay down on you. And so one of the things we're talking about right now is we got into the armor of God. This was 2 weeks ago. We did a review of what this is. And so let's read this. We're talking about, we're in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 13. Therefore, put on every piece of God's armor so you'll be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then after the battle, you will still be standing firm. Stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth and the body armor of God's righteousness. For shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news so that you'll be fully prepared. In addition to all of these, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. Put on salvation as your helmet and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. So this is the armor of God. And like I said, we talked this over a couple of weeks ago about what it is. You are in a spiritual battle. You're in a spiritual battle. So if you're, like, worried about your finances, if you're worried about your whatever emotional thing you're going through or whatever, this is a spiritual battle, not a physical battle. If you're going to go through a spiritual battle, then you need spiritual tools, spiritual weapons. That's what this stuff is. You don't have to wear it. It says it twice in here. It says put it on. You can have your salvation and not be wearing these things. I would suggest you put this stuff on. Because if you want to fight the fight, you want to fight the good fight, you want to wind up at the end on the positive side of this thing, you want to have a great life, then put this stuff on. Like, wear these things diligently. All right. So we're starting with our first piece is the belt of truth. Is that what it says? Stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth. Now, today, belts hold up your britches. That's what they do. Now, after vacation, I'm wearing a belt, but I don't have to. I'm just like, today these britches would stay up no matter what. But your belt holds up your britches. It's a single function thing. Well, I guess right now it's also holding my mic pack. But back in those days, when you were putting on your armor, you know, your leg stuff and your breastplate and all of this stuff, it all tied together in your belt. So when he was, what he was referencing here is, this is the piece that holds everything on and tightly together. So this is the piece, this is an important piece. Not that the others aren't important, but this one is an important piece. It's going to hold your weapons. It's going to hold all of your stuff together, not just your britches. And so without this, all the rest of the things could be loose. All the rest of the things might, you know, you might get ready to go grab your sword, and if you don't have your sword, then, or if your belt is done come off, then your sword went with it, right? You see what I'm saying? This holds all this together. And so I think you need to catch today, because this is very important for us. This is a really important piece, the truth. This is an important piece, the truth. Okay, let's read a scripture here. This is John chapter 3, verse 21. But those who do what is right come to the light so others can see that they are doing what God wants. Now, I want to read this scripture in two different translations because I really like the way that the King James English says this. It says, but he that doeth truth cometh to the light. How did they read this? He that doeth truth cometh to the light. Doeth truth. Are you doing truth? It's almost making truth a verb, right? Something you can do. You can do truth. This is important for us to note because in our world today, there's like everybody has their own truth, right? I mean, you hear this, right? Follow your heart. Just you do you. You live your truth. You hear these things all of the time. And don't follow your heart. Like, you hear that all the time. Just follow your heart. No, your heart is wicked. Don't follow it. Here's Jeremiah 17:9. The human heart is the most deceitful of all things and desperately wicked. Who really knows how bad it is? That's talking about you. Your heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. That's who we are. And so if you follow your heart, then that's where you're headed, is to deceitful and wicked. Now, I don't want to be wicked, right? I want to follow Jesus. And so if we're going to do with truth, then we can't just follow our own truth. We have to follow the truth, all right? Now, this is not like a new concept. This you do you or follow your heart is not like a new concept. Shakespeare was born in 1564 and lived until 1616, and he said, to thine own self be true. So this was even real, excuse me, back when Gene was born. Is he in the room? Because he had to be expecting that. He had to be expecting. No, there he is. Got you, buddy. All right. To thine own self be true. So this is not new. Like, selfishness is not new. We didn't create it. This has been going on from hundreds of years ago. Now, if you want truth, okay, then this is where it's found. This is where it's found. You can find things that are true that aren't in here. For example, Chick-fil-A is closed on Sundays. That is true. You don't find that in here. But this is the truth, and it is all the truth. Okay? It is not all truth that exists, but it is all true. Does that make sense? Yeah. Okay. And so if you're looking for a standard by which to measure your life, if you're looking for a standard by which to find the truth, this is the standard, because it does not change, right? Our emotions, our heart will lead us this way and that way and this way and that way and in any kind of direction. But this, regardless of your emotional state, is always the same. And that's great news for us, because we're emotional people and we're desperately wicked. Now, I was watching this thing on TV one time where they were taking these students on a tour of a college campus, but that was all a setup. That's not really what was happening. They had one guy who was like a photographer. He was running around taking pictures. Well, they were out in the quad or wherever, and this guy, whoever he is, he runs up, he grabs the camera from the cameraman, and he steals it and takes off running. And there was like 25 people in this group. It was all a setup. So then they started interviewing the 25 people. What was the man's coat? What coat was he wearing? What did he look like? How tall was he? Now guess what? There were 25 different answers. Do you remember this? Do you remember us watching this thing? The guy, I don't really remember now, but I feel like I remember the guy was wearing a bright red coat. I don't have any idea where we saw that thing. Do you? No, anyway. But and there was like 25 different answers to what actually happened, how it happened, who the guy was, what his skin tone was, the whole thing. Like, the whole thing was, and that's how we are. There, like, if somebody were to run in here and slap me in the face and take off running, there'd be, 100 different stories of what actually happened. But the camera tells the truth, right? So this is on YouTube, so we could go back and watch it again. And then we'd be, I didn't know that guy was looking like this, or I didn't know. And so the standard is the video. We have the video of the guy stealing the camera. We have the video. So we can go back to the video and say, this is the truth. This is what actually happened. This is the video. This is what actually happened. This is the standard. We all have our own versions of what we saw, but this is the standard. And so if you're not, like, reading this thing, then you really should, I'll say that. But you're just kind of floating about. Like, where are you going? How do you know what's the right path? How do you know where to go? I will never understand how lost people decide who to marry. I don't understand that, or decide what house to buy. You got to do that stuff with the help of the Holy Spirit, right? If you just get married to somebody like because they're good looking, well, that all fades. Look, I mean, Shannon married a good looking man, and look what happened. It's awful. I mean, like, I didn't like all this is everything has changed. That was not in my notes. I didn't think. Make fun of self. Wasn't in there. Okay, all right. Let's get back on track here. Romans chapter 3, verse 4. Of course not. Even if everyone else is a liar, God is true. I love the way the King James said this. Let God be true and every man a liar. Let God be true and every man a liar. If you're looking for truth in your life, if you want to put on the belt of truth, if you want to wear it, then you got to stay focused on where the truth is. The truth is found in Him and in Him alone. Your version of the truth will only lead you to places that are desperate and wicked and deceitful. Okay, so you've got to have the Bible. This is your video of the guy stealing the camera. And evil people are going to evil, but this is the standard by which we do stuff. Okay, now, how do we use this thing? How do we use this thing to fight with? How do we use this as a spiritual weapon? How do we use this belt to tie all of our stuff together? Okay, I'm going to read you a scripture here. This is John chapter 8. I've done flipped to the wrong one. Where am I? Okay. All right, good. All right. John chapter 8, verse 31. Jesus said to the people who believed in him, If you are truly my disciple, you will remain faithful to my teachings, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So how do you use this to fight? You remain faithful to my teachings. Remain faithful to my teachings, and you will know the truth. So, where do you find his teachings? I'll give you a hint. It's right here. This is the same one, okay? This is the standard. This is what we're going to talk about all morning long, is this thing, right? This is the standard. If you don't have this in your life, then your truth is just going to be willy-nilly everywhere. You're not going to be wearing this belt. You have to stay focused on this thing. Use the truth to fight your spiritual battle. Now, I'm going to give you some examples as to how this works. Somebody says to you, you're worthless. Or they give off that attitude. Not many people will actually look at you in the face and call you worthless, at least not in a serious manner, although I'm sure it has happened. Most of us, you know, you get that attitude, whenever you go to talk to them or ask them a question or whatever, they eye roll and they give you the attitude or the short answers or whatever, and it puts off this whole, like, mojo that you are worthless. You're not worth my time. You're not worth my efforts. You're not worth me answering these questions. And so you guys know what this is. I'm not the only one. Like, you guys know people treat you this way. And so how do you fight against that? All right, so we're going to go to John chapter 1. You're going to use the truth to fight that statement. John chapter 1, verse 12. But all who believed in him and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. They are reborn, not with physical birth resulting from human passion or plan, but a birth that comes from God. You can use the truth to know that you're not worthless because you're a child of God. If you have salvation. If you don't have salvation, all of this is for naught, and you're just listening to me talk, right? If you have salvation, then this matters to you. Okay, let's look at another scripture here, Galatians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7. And because we are his children, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, prompting us to call out, Abba, Father. Now we are no longer a slave, but God's own child. And since you are his child, God made you his heir. You're an heir to the kingdom. You're an heir to the king. You're not worthless. If you were worthless, you wouldn't be an heir to the, you wouldn't be a son or a daughter to the King of Kings, the one who created the universe. Right? And so, okay, maybe you don't have this awesome social standing. Maybe you don't, like, whatever. Maybe you're not a billionaire who owns Amazon or whatever the case is. Maybe you're not at the top of any pile, okay? Maybe you're not, which you're probably not. I'm just saying, like, everybody in here, like, whatever you value yourself the most, and I taught this to the youth a few weeks ago, and you guys are definitely going to hear it because it's good. But however you value yourself the most, I'm tough or I'm rich or I'm whatever, there's always somebody tougher, there's always somebody richer, there's always somebody whatever. So, but you are a child of God, and that's using the truth. That's using the truth. I got one more for you. Romans chapter 8, verse 15. So you have not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you have received God's Spirit when he adopted you as his own children. We now call him Abba Father, for his spirit joins with our spirit to affirm that we are God's children. And since we are his children, we are his heirs. In fact, together with Christ, we are heirs of God's glory. But if we are to share in his glory, we must also share in his suffering. So, somebody is giving you the you're worthless vibes. You're hearing that from you feel like you're hearing it from your parents. Your parents probably aren't actually saying that, but you feel like you're hearing that from your parents. You feel like you're hearing that from your teachers. You feel like you're hearing that from your boss. You feel like you're hearing that from people who are above you, around you, whatever. You feel you're getting that, like, I'm worthless mojo from somebody, okay? When you get beat down like that, then you use your spiritual weapons to fight with truth. I'm not worthless. I'm God's son. I'm not worthless. I am worth his attention. Is this easy to do? Is it easy to like to get beat down by somebody you love and then just like shake it off and be like, oh, you know, it's okay because I'm God's son? No, it's not easy. It takes lots and lots and lots and lots of practice. But is it possible? Absolutely it is. And it's worth it. All right. So here, another way. Somebody would say to you, God's not real. That happens in our society today. God's not real. This is Romans chapter 8. Nope, Romans chapter 1, verse 18 and 20, 18 through 20. But God shows his anger from heaven against all sinful, wicked people who suppress the truth with their wickedness. They know the truth about God because he has made it obvious to them. For since the world was created, people have seen earth and sky. Through everything God has made, they can clearly see his invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature. So they have no excuse for not knowing God. So there's a great scripture right there to use when somebody tells you that God's not real. Just look outside, bro. And then they'll say things like, and I mean, like, you can get into really advanced arguments with people, but, like, honestly, they know the truth because they were created to know the truth. They can argue the truth. They can argue with you about, oh, well, Big Bang Theory or whatever, all of this stuff. They can argue, but they know the truth because they were created to know the truth. And ultimately, if you ever see any of these guys debate, the Christian guy always has the upper hand because we have the upper hand, because we have the truth. They have a theory that they sort of, well, this could be it, but we have faith that this is real. We can see it in his nature. Just go outside and look at a tree or grass or whatever. Like, you know, some people just stand in awe of the Lord when they stand in front of the ocean, or some people stand in awe of the Lord when they stand before a mountain, or whatever your thing is. I don't know what you love about nature, clouds and sky, thunderstorms, whatever it is. Like, I love trees. I love trees. I feel like it just, like, the awesomeness of trees really displays his power and his glory to me. Maybe that's dumb. I don't care if you don't like it. It doesn't matter to me. But that's how I feel like I see his glory. And then here's another one. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. The message of the cross is foolish to those who are headed for destruction. But we who are being saved know that it is the very power of God. As the scriptures say, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and discard the intelligence of the intelligent. So here's another thing. When you're arguing with somebody about whether or not God is real, you need to understand this. They can't understand it. It is foolishness to those who are headed for destruction. If you start trying to tell somebody, like, the Lord has to open their eyes. The Lord has to do the work. That's not your job to open their eyes to see the glory of the Lord. The Lord has to do that work. That's who does the work. But you can present your argument to get them thinking in the right way, but just recognize that it is foolishness to those who, and so, I mean, I wouldn't recommend this, but if they're like, no, God's not real, well, you're just foolish to the fact that this is real. You could say that. I probably wouldn't, though. But I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and discard the intelligence of the intelligent. That's an awesome statement. We don't have to defend our God. He's a big boy, and he can defend himself. Okay. And then finally, let's just imagine that somebody says to you, well, there's evil or suffering in the world, so there must be no God. Okay. Which that's maybe one of the main arguments you hear about, you know, God. He's either not all good, or he's not all powerful, or he's not all loving. You know, you hear these sort of things. And the simple truth is, he is all of those things. He is all powerful. He is all loving. He's also all justice, but, well, I'm not going to get into that today. 1 Peter 3, verse 9. The Lord isn't really being slow about his promise, as some people think. No, he's being patient for your sake. He does not want anyone to be destroyed, but wants everyone to repent. Well, so part of the reason why we have evilness in the world is because we have evil people who have yet to repent. I mean, God doesn't want that. God didn't create heaven, or he didn't create earth for us to be evil. That was never his desire. And so after Jesus comes, then he's not being slow about his promise. No, he wants everyone to repent. He doesn't want anyone to be destroyed. God's desire is that we're all Christians. God's desire is that we all know him, that we all put our faith in him, that we all trust him, that we all lean into him. That's his desire for us. He doesn't want the evil people. And I mean, there's some really evil things that happen on planet Earth today. And not just new today, but I don't know if you guys ever, like, okay, so Molech was a god in the Old Testament, a little g god. And he was a monkey-looking thing, right? And they would make, they would create this monkey thing with cupped hands like this. And they would start a fire underneath Molech's hands. And they would put their babies in the monkey's hands and burn their babies to death as a sacrifice to Molech. How horrible. It's hard to even talk about that. How horrible of a thing is that? God never intended for that. He never intended for that. God wanted all of us to come to repentance. Everybody. Let's look here at the beginning of all of sin. This is Genesis chapter 2, verse 15. The Lord God placed the man in the Garden of Eden to tend it and watch over it. But the Lord warned him, "You may eat freely of the fruit You may freely eat the fruit of every tree in the garden, except the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. If you eat its fruit, you are sure to die." That was God's command about the tree of good and evil. Now, let's watch this here. This is Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. The serpent was the shrewdest of all the wild animals the Lord God had made. One day he asked the woman, "Did God really say you must not eat the fruit from any tree in the garden?" "Of course we may eat fruit from the trees in the garden," the woman replied. "It is only the fruit from the tree in the middle of the garden that we're not allowed to eat. God said, you must not eat it or even touch it. If you do, you will die." Now, God didn't say you can't touch it. Okay. "You won't die!" Exclamation point. The serpent replied to the woman, "God knows that your eyes will be opened as soon as you eat it, and you will be like God, knowing both good and evil." The woman was convinced. She saw the tree was beautiful and its fruit looked delicious, and she wanted the wisdom it would give her. She took some of the fruit and ate it. Then she gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it too. At that moment, their eyes were opened, and they suddenly felt shame and their nakedness at their nakedness. So they sewed fig leaves together to cover themselves. This was never God's intention. He created earth. He created earth. He created humans so that he could have somebody who would worship him without seeing him in his full glory. Like, I don't know how it happened because I wasn't there. Maybe we could ask Gene. But, like, when God created the angels, they could see him in his full glory. And I think God wanted somebody who could choose to love him. And apparently they had some sort of choice as well. But he wanted people who could love him, who would worship him, without seeing him in his full glory. Because God walked around with them in the Old Testament. He did. But he wanted us to choose him. That was the whole idea behind this project. I want people to love me. I want them to choose me. Because I'm awesome. I want them to see that. And so that's what this whole thing is about. And I guarantee you, if you had rolled the TV out in front of Adam and Eve as they were standing in front of that tree and showed them the hands of Molech with its disgusting burns, or shown them things like Hitler and the tragedy, or Mussolini and the list goes on and on and on, or abortion and it's millions of abortions. Like, if they could have seen the evil that would come from that one decision, they would have never ever chosen that fruit. They would have run away from it as far as they could have run. God's intention was for us to be in the garden worshiping him and just enjoying fellowship with him. That was the idea behind all this. That's the truth. And so if you want to keep this belt on, if you want to keep this belt of truth on, then you've got to stay in here. This is where the truth is found. This is the weapon you're going to use. This is like it's all ties together. All of this ties together. Because if you're loosey-goosey with this, then you'll be loosey-goosey with all of the rest of your armor. If you're not solid on this, then all the rest of your armor will be loose and floppy. You've got to have this piece down. All the truth that you need is found in here. So I tell you what, let me pray for you. And I pray that you would invest in the truth, that you would put this belt on and leave it on. And are there things in here that are confusing? Absolutely. Is it still worth reading? Absolutely. And if you never read it, will you ever understand will you ever get to the things that confuse you? Like if you read it once and you're like, oh, I don't understand that, and then you put it down, you're not letting it sink in. Read it. It's a little bit like lifting weights. If you want to get bigger, you have to put the work in, right? It doesn't just happen. It's not just going to fall off your bedside table and, oh, I have now all the knowledge of the Word of God. It doesn't work like that. You have to put the work in. So please, put the work in. Let me pray for you. Father, in the name of Jesus, God, I pray that we would invest in your truth. God, that we would put this belt on and cinch it up and keep it tight. Lord, that whenever we come across something that confuses us, that we don't understand, Father, that we would look for the answers in your word. God, and that we would trust you even if we don't understand you. God, everything we need is found in you. You're good, you're holy, you're precious. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. That's all I got. You guys get to go home now.